This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat?
We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Houston, we do not have a problem.
Sarah Webb, Joy Drive's astrophysicist.
Good afternoon, Sarah Webb.
Good afternoon.
Did you, we know you watched the Southern Aurora. I tried to watch it. I couldn't see it. There was too much light near me.
I tried. I was up in Queensland and I couldn't see it, but all of my friends and all of my colleagues have the most spectacular photos. It makes me very jealous.
What is it? What causes it?
So what happens is our sun can become quite active and it can have something called a solar flare or a coronal mass ejection. And it sounds scary, but what it is charged particles from our sun are spewed out into space and sometimes they interact with our Earth's magnetic field. And when this happens, we tend to get the auroras that are more intensified. So we get them creeping up higher longitudes than they normally would. And so we're just seeing this activity left over from our sun having a bit of an event occur couple of days ago, and then we get to reap the benefits of the beautiful lights in our skies.
These are these flares that come out from the sun. Is there sort of any frequency to them? Are they regular, or are they just come, you know, at any time, unpredictable? Yeah.
So our sun flares quite a bit. They're very low-level flares, but it does increase when it's near something called a solar maximum, which we're heading into in the next year or so. So our sun operates on about an 11-year cycle where it goes from a solar maximum to a minimum, and this is when its magnetic poles flip. And so when we're getting ready for those poles to flip, we get a lot more magnetic activity, which tend to lead to more solar flares and these mass ejections.
So we could potentially have another Southern Aurora experience here in Melbourne?
We could, yes. So, yeah, people are predicting, our weather scientists are predicting that tonight there might be some conditions in the south of Victoria and especially Tasmania that there might probably be potential to see an aurora. You can never guarantee whether you're going to see it or not. But in the next year or so, because our sun is being so active and it's heading into this maximum stage, we would not be surprised if there are going to be more mass ejections, more stellar flare events, which means we will hopefully get to see it again in the next year.
So if we did miss it, let's not be too disappointed. I'm interested in this flipping of the poles on the sun. What impact does that have on us here on Earth?
So no major impacts on us here on Earth. The biggest impact is when we get something that's happening right now, which is called a geomagnetic storm, which is why we're seeing more aurora. And what it can do sometimes is mess with some of our systems down here on Earth because it can induce currents in different wiring and systems. But we're pretty good at being able to predict when and where that might happen. So there's not too many impacts down here on Earth in space. So that's another problem.
Now, moving on to something else, I wish I had the music, sort of the dirt music. There's a close encounter coming up. Tell us about that.
There is a close encounter, not of the third kind, unfortunately for you. There's an asteroid called Apophis that is meant to be coming close to us in 2029. So just in a few years' time, and it's quite a big asteroid. It's about 300 or so meters across, and it's going to come within tens of thousands of kilometers of the Earth, which means it's very close. It means it's going to come closer than the moon is to the Earth.
Oh, wow. So we'll look up. Don't look up. We will be looking up and see it, potentially.
We will. You will be able to see it with your naked eye. We think that the risk of it hurting us is exceptionally low. Mm-hmm. But it's not every day that you get an asteroid that literally wanders past your planet. Ooh. So the cool thing is that right now there's different space agencies and different science teams that are pitching ideas of sending spacecraft up to basically meet this asteroid and get data while it's here.
It's not a lot of time, though, is it, really, I suppose, in space terms? Do you reckon that's enough to get projects up and running to land on it, or
progress? I think so we've definitely got the OSIRIS APEX, which used to be known as the OSIRIS REx spacecraft, which will definitely be visiting it. Mm-hmm. And then I think it wouldn't be too crazy to think we might get a few other smaller spacecraft that might be able to be designed and implemented in that time.
Now, it's named after an Egyptian god. of chaos destroyer. I'm not sure I like that, but anyway.
Didn't want to scare anyone too much, but it is named after the god of chaos and destruction. But I will promise you to a certain statistical degree that it doesn't look like it's going to hurt us right now.
Fantastic. But it's certainly an experience that we'll be, be able to view. Now, obviously we all learned that there were 9 planets, and then all of a sudden we were told, well, maybe not.
Yeah.
We had to unlearn, but we might be able to relearn it again as 9, I believe.
We might. Yeah, exactly right. So many of you will lovingly remember Pluto and mourn its loss to the Planet Club. But the good news is we actually think there could potentially be another planet that is not Pluto, that is hiding in the outskirts of our solar system, that might be gravitationally affecting some of the different asteroids and comets that we have in our solar system. And the amazing thing is we've never found this planet. The only reason why we think it might be there is because of computer models. When we model the way that our solar system works, it doesn't make sense unless we put in another planet lurking out in our outskirts.
This is a big thing though, Sarah. I mean, as an astrophysicist, how does it feel thinking that you potentially, you know, you'll witness the discovery of another planet?
I'm team Planet 9. We need to make t-shirts and rally together. But I think it would be remarkable because it would mean that we're still learning. Not only do we think we understand the universe pretty well, but we're still trying to understand just the solar system that we live in. And it's fascinating.
Once you get confirmation, let's see how optimistic we are. Once you've got confirmation that there is this 9th planet in the solar system, will that mean in terms of, I suppose, affirming the models that you use?
Yeah. So I think it will be a big tick to the modelling that has been done out of the US to say that the modelling of general relativity and the way that these planets orbit is correct, if we're able to find it. If we're not, though, it means that there might be other dwarf planets that we just haven't found yet, that when we add them into the model, it will all make sense. But until we have either way, I don't know.
Paul says the planet should be called Mickey.
Mickey, I like that name.
Also, can you please ask Sarah if there's an app we can download to know when auroras might occur?
Yes. So you can go to our Bureau of Meteorology, the Australian Space Weather Forecasting Centre. So if you just type in BOM Australia Space Weather, the website should pop right up, and you're looking for something called a KP index or a K index. And when you have a high K index, so when it's over, say, 4, it goes up to 9, you have an okay chance of seeing an aurora. For here in Melbourne, if it's at 9 or 8, that's when you're going to potentially see the aurora like we did over the weekend.
And if you're listening in Tasmania, look to, is it the southern skies tonight,
yes,
Sarah?
Yes, look to the south. Yes, look to the south. That's right.
So exciting, Sarah. We love chatting to you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Catch you in a couple of weeks. That is Sarah Webb from Swinburne University of Technology.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.